Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Bob McClendon here. Hope you all made it in. Had a technical glitch with the Earth as far as its relationship to the sun, Central Time and Eastern Time. When I keyed in the show, I couldn't find out how to change it from Central to Eastern. So that's why we're starting at 6, and I hope when you all called in that you got the number and time when it would actually be starting. So greetings to all. This is first inaugural show, and I'll be getting our game together here with this show, so bear with me. We're going to be talking this evening about mushrooms, crystals, and immortality. As most of you know, one of my areas of study is the hallucinogenic mushroom, preferably in the psilocybin genus, and that's one of the things I do, along with, of course, martial arts. And they blend together well. Mushrooms are the oldest and most pristine hallucinogen that we have. They're a form of dimethyltryptamine, and that's what I do, you know, along with many people around the world who have an affinity for psilocybin mushrooms. I'm not going to say it's the best, even though I say that. It's definitely the best for me because it gives me access to be able to work inside of the areas of consciousness that are not readily available with other substances, and even those that provide the access, like smokable pure DMT, they don't have the time factor there for you to be able to actually, you know, get a chance to have time to be able to work your way through anything. It's just like being shot out of a cannon and landing, and then whereas with the mushroom, you can't have time to reflect, have time to problem solve, have time to be able to get your hands into something, be able to do something. Well, DMT is just not it's just not feasible. And just here recently, I'm back from a trip to Oaxaca and San Jose, the Pacifico, or San Juan de Pacifico, one of them, San somethings, climbing up to smoke the medicine, the 5-MeO toad medicine, which was a very, very, very interesting and cherished experience. It was different in some ways, but memorably very familiar, because I've actually been into that place on mushrooms, where you have the kind of like three-dimensional white noise without the white noise, kind of like a filtering of consciousness where you can experience your consciousness without being able to hook it to anything. I've had those types of experiences on mushrooms, so it's very, very interesting to be able to smoke toad venom and get the same experience. But, you know, toads are older than the dinosaurs, so they have a very, very rich plenum of information, you know, and personal totems in many parts of Africa and also in ancient Kemet And then other places around the world utilize the toad. It's part of the mythology. It's part of the informational structures of myth, you know, kissing the frog and the frog turning into a prince and, you know, that type of thing. So frogs are there and part of the secret, sacred rites of, you know, the entheogenic world. So it's great to be on this first show. It's great to be talking with you and sharing with you information on mushrooms, crystals, and immortality. We'll be sharing about the crystals that we have, and all of the folks who've ordered their crystals who haven't yet received them. We do those crystals one at a time, and there's only myself doing them. So just be patient. Everybody will have theirs real soon. And once everybody has theirs and has sat down and been in a couple of experiences with their entheogens, then we're going to get down to work building, meaning that we're going to have some classes on utilization of the crystals and how they work. We'll also talking about the Yimingzu or the infinity crystals, infinity discs that are, you know, a technology that is advanced from the future. It's no different than the Mind Stone, Time Stone, and the Tesseract, and all of those things being talked about in the Marvel universe. The Infinity Stones glow of their own volition, just like the Infinity Stones in the Marvel universe, without radiation. There are bootleg crystals on eBay and things like that that folks can get very cheaply, you know, for about, you know, $35, something like that. But they are certain areas of radiation or glowing paint, things like that. It's not the crystalline structure and its alignment that allows it to glow from the infraparticle realms, but it's either paint or some type of radiation. I remember when I was a young boy and I got a watch from my uncle, and it was a glow-in-the-dark watch. It would glow green. I'd get under my bed sheets and covers and look at this watch glowing in the dark. I didn't know the whole thing was like uranium or something, or some type of radiation that, you know, will give you problems at this stage of my life. These bootleg Yimingzu stones and discs are of that ilk. But the ones that we have, the infinity discs and stones, are the real deal, quantum computers, and when utilized and paired with entheogens, are in a class by themselves. So we'll be talking about that, and we'll be talking about also immortality. And we'll be talking about immortality as far as it's hooked to the entheogens and psychedelics and things like that. You know, for folks who tuning in and aren't really familiar with the terminology and jargon of the entheogenic world. Entheogen means to awaken the God within, or to awaken the spirit within. I prefer psychedelic, which means mind manifesting. You know, and then you have hallucinogen. So I use these three interchangeably. So I may sometimes say psychedelic, sometimes say entheogen, and I might sometimes say, you know, hallucinogen. So I use those interchangeably to be able to talk about immortality as it relates to entheogens is to understand the soul and how to access the true self in the past, present, and future. Because we're making the past from the future, we're making the future from the past, and we're blending it with direct now time. So if you are a true soul, if you're a true entity and not an artificial construct, you'll never die. You are an immortal. Constructs can be cut off with the power. In other words, you know, they can flick the switch. They can pull the plug. The computer can have a glitch, and you could be gone in a moment. All while you're sentient and thinking that you're real, but that may not be the case. But for those who are souls who are from the true universe, from the true multiverse, from the true infraparticle intelligence, let me talk about the multiverse. The multiverse is that the concept of multiple universes, that this universe unified, one verse, one place, is not the only place, but there are multitudes, quadrillions and trillions of different universes that interpenetrate one another, that deliver all possibilities. So it's not just one universe, but many, many, many universes that are being born, dying, blending into one another. Particle intelligence. The infraparticle intelligence is the intelligence of the very, very small, meaning that going all the way down below the Planck limit, or the Planck constant, which is 10 to the negative 35. Scientists say that's the smallest that you can divide something down to the Planck limit. But let me tell you, with mushrooms at high doses, you can get down below the Planck limit. There are orders of magnitude below the Planck limit that go on forever and ever and ever. There is no end to the division of the smaller, the smallest you can get. Those artificial intelligent systems that generate the macro reality, of which many of us are embedded. They generate all the suns, all the black holes, all the planets, all the cosmic radiation, all the elements, all of the different particles that exist in the macroverse are generated from the very, very small, from the super servers, from the super civilizations that give us everything that exists. So from the very, very small, the microscopia, to the very, very large, the macroscopia, can be generated in the consciousness of the human brain, or the brain, can observe these places and also visit these places. So mushrooms, as I said, the oldest that we have encountered, because the mushrooms are older than the other areas of existence. They're older than plants. They're older than the alchemies, because many of the things that we have, such like ayahuasca, is an alchemy. It brings together two plants. You need to put it in a pot. You need water. You need fire and heat. You need a human being to be able to stir it, keep an eye on it. So that's an alchemy. You have a human being between you and the experience. Many times this person is called a shaman. They have an actual name, but shaman is the colloquial way of which today they call every person who's not a imam, rabbi, or Catholic priest shaman. They used to call them the hoodoo doctor, the witch doctor, the medicine person, medicine man, medicine woman, all that kind of stuff. The only shamans are in Siberia and a few other places around there, and they're shamans. But they call everybody shaman. You should call the people what they are in the areas that they are. In Africa, they're in Ganga, in Sangoma, the Babalawo, different names in different places, the spirit person. So mushrooms are the oldest. they are found all over the world. If all over the world they're utilized for the same purpose, because when people were searching for food and you get hungry and you see something that's very looks very eatable, you try it. And once you try it, the experience is delivered to you via the actual fruit body of the mushroom itself. So you have a area of a area of your diet that has allowed you to have access to higher levels of information, agriculture, husbandry, education of animals, food science. You know, when you say food science, what does that mean? Well, food science, pickling, you know, sauerkraut, kimchi, sourdough bread, wine making, beer making. All of these are very high sciences that came about through sojourns into multiverse. Being able to make butter. I mean, these are all high sciences delivered from entheogenic psychedelic use. What are we talking about when we're talking about mushrooms? And I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how many of you have called in. Hopefully I don't cut myself off. Maybe I could just, well, we'll see how this works. The guest call-in line is, well, I'm not going to give that out until a half an hour. And that way folks can call in. And, well, I guess you're already in. I don't know. I guess you, I've been on Blog Talk Radio before. So if you push one, that'll put you in the queue. And we'll see how that works. If it doesn't work this week, it'll work next week, because this is a learning process. It's a learning process for me and, you know, my guest host, because I'll be eventually having people come on to talk to you about different things and related topics. So I'll be having guests, guest hosts, and others who are going to come in and talk to you, and I'll let some of my friends and colleagues who I feel have something to share, let them come on the program and talk to you and give you information, because this is all about understanding who we are, what we are, where we're going, and how we're going to get there. And there are several scenarios inside of this scenario. There are, you know, the artificial intelligence. There is the cyborg areas. There are genetic manipulations, so many different things. I just read earlier today, I don't know whether it's actually happened or not, but they've actually, with the CRISPR, which is a gene splicer, corrected certain DNA defects in embryos. Now, supposedly they're not supposed to implant the embryos into a woman so that it will come to term, and whatever they did with the CRISPR, if they mess something up, this person gets out into the public domain at a sexually mature age, mates with somebody who mates with somebody else who mates with somebody else, and exponentially we've got some type of Frankenstein genetic work happening, and, you know, we got half zombies and half humans and cyborgs walking around, different things like that. So we're in a brave new world. My take on all of this is that we hack our way and evolve our way out of the position that we're in of relative powerlessness as far as multiple dimensional beings, hack our way out of, evolve our way out of through the utilization of the tryptamine, hallucinogens, psychedelics, or entheogens, meaning that we use the mushroom as the cryptor, as the CRISPR, as a way to manipulate the DNA into our higher self in the future. So I'm a firm understander of that the higher self in the future is directing the self in the present, molding itself into itself in the future. In other words, they're putting you in situations, they're putting you in certain areas of stress, they're putting you in certain ways of thought and being that will evolve you into what it actually is in the future. It's actually running its own time simulation into the past and upgrading itself in the future by manipulating the environment and mindset and access in the past, which is what we are right now in the present time. So it has to do with immortality. It has to do with time manipulation, time travel. It has to do with being able to go into and in real time be able to see the DNA in its actuality, in motion, in doing its thing. So it's a brave new world and a wonderful thing. So instead of upgrading yourself or upgrading your children with a CRISPR or taking on different computer parts, different nanobots or different electronic hardware into the body, you know, because now they have pancreases that, you know, they have electronic pancreases to get the download, things like that. They're looking at also electronic or computer eyeballs, all different types of things. So our way, the way that we're proposing, is to utilize mushrooms at the high dose, and that's over the 25 dry grams dose of cubensis. There are others that have higher levels of psilocybin in it where you can get the same bang for the buck. And then there's also pairing mushrooms with things like Syrian rue and what they call it nowadays, psilocybin, similar name to ayahuasca. It's a blend of the monoamine oxidase inhibitor, Syrian rue, paired with mushrooms. So supposedly you use less to get the same bang for the buck, but still pairing it with the Syrian rue is a way, a strategy of stretching when you don't have a lot. But it changes the signature of it, just like each mushroom encoded signature on it. The mushrooms, the food of the gods, the flesh of the gods that I had 2 weekends ago in Mexico, listening to the songs of Maria Sabina, and she was rocking it. You take it, you know, and I had approximately about it's probably equivalent to about 20 gram trip, and hearing Maria Sabina singing was an experience, especially being in the Axial Mountains, of which the people who worked with and ingest these mushrooms in Mexico was a privilege and an honor, and the Olmec and Toltec, Aztec, Mayan elders of the thunder and lightning mushrooms, those mountains, and they get it, they call them landslide mushrooms, where the thunder strikes and landslides slide, these mushrooms grow. They don't grow anyplace else. They don't grow on cow dung. These aren't the cow dung mushrooms. These are the landslide mushrooms that grow in the crevices of the mountain. And they go down in these crevices and cracks and things and get these mushrooms. And 80% of the mushrooms go back into the mountain. It's harvested. The others go back down into the mountain. But lightning strikes again, these mushrooms sprout out. then they're taken, wrapped in, I believe they were Detour leaf. Now, I don't know what that may have in, what that may be, what the ramifications of wrapping wet mushrooms in fresh Detour leaves, whether that's some micro signature thing happening on these mushrooms along with the just the actual flesh of the gods themselves. But these mushrooms are, there's something. I first experienced these mushrooms I think it was 1973. I got my first full monster dose in 1974. 73 was talking to the tree, 74 was talking to everything. But what we did was we ingested the toad earlier in the day and went through the toad experience, which, as I told you earlier, was a magnificent experience. And then later that night, we went and took the mushrooms that we had earlier that day and a tea was made of the mushrooms. They were boiled along with honey, and the tea was made, and we ingested the tea that evening and had our excursions into the multiverse. Fire, the mountains, Maria Sabina singing in the background, and it was actually, I think, about five physical people in the room, but I'm looking up, and, you know, and this is on the way down. I mean, the elders came through. They came through, and then later, early close to morning, I'm watching all these people come through. It's like 15, 20 people coming in the room, and I'm like, is this a regular real person, or is this an entheogenic person walking through the room? You know, old Mexican ladies and men, and we didn't really have any old Mexican lady and men in the actual ingestion trip experience, but they were there walking through, you know, greeting people. How you doing? You know, so I don't know whether they were real-life Mexican folks coming through and greeting us, or they were just entheogenic people, which are real-life people, too. But they just don't live in the regular world, in the regular dimensions. They're extra-dimensional beings. What are we doing with the Yiming Zhu and the transdimensional crystals? What we're doing is we're building a place in hyperspace, in the multiverse. We're building maps to that place. The maps are built in. And once you go in, utilizing the entheogens and your Yiming Zhu or your transdimensional crystal, the map is inside of the crystal. When I'm talking, you gotta be part and understand part of the Marvel Universe. A manipulative in space computer, the dials and the cranks and slides are all in your visual field and are manipulatable with your astral form. So when you see the computers and they're clear, like Jarvis and things like that, moving your hand in space and you're turning a dial or you're flipping a switch or you're sliding a slide and things are happening all around you, that the environment is changing. This is what the crystal does. And once it opens up, once you gaze into it and it opens up and the map comes out and then you go into the map, the map takes you through the portals, the wormholes, the faster-than-light superluminal travel, and it takes you to that spot in a dimension that is closed off from prying eyes, from access from other dimensional beings, we got a lockdown spot where we can go and build as super beings, whatever society, whatever type of culture that we see fit to live in, without the intrusion of other folks who may not have your best interests at heart. Because I know since the New Age, this whole thing has come about, you know, with Annie Besant and C.W. Ledbetter and Helena Petrova-Levatsky and the Theosophical Society and the Rosicrucian Society and the different schools of modern yoga come about, modern Buddhism and things like this. You have this whole love paradigm that, you know, God is love, the universe is love, and all this kind of love stuff. But that's all new modern stuff. It ain't a lot of love out here. It's a lot of malevolence. It's a lot of horror, terror. And out of the 432,000 humanoid species that exist in this galaxy alone, the majority of them want to rape you, eat you, take what you got, enslave you, and things like that. So about 332,000 of those beings are malevolent, horrible, monstrous entities. About 100,000 of them are what you would call civilized, and the human race on Earth in the galaxy with our little sun, with, you know, Jupiter, Saturn, and Mercury, you know, half the time in retrograde, all of that. We're not part of the 100,000 or so that are civilized, meaning that the reason why many times you cut off from your power is that if you had it, you'd abuse it and do just what the 332,000 knuckleheads in the multiverse that are running around raping, eating, stealing, you'd be right in there with them. Some are learning and some are growing. The other, out of the other 100,000, 50,000 have become truly super civilizations and don't rely on macro technology at all, and they have miniaturized themselves and miniaturized their technology into the infraparticle existence. So when we say the Fermi paradox, the Drake equation is that out of all the how many habitable galaxies have planets that are habitable by civilizations that could at some point in time contact us. In other words, where the Shirley Temple area of planets that people could live on. So there should be billions and billions and billions of civilizations out here. Most of them have killed themselves off because they've gotten to a point technologically where they could create atomic bombs and particle beam weapons and all that kind of stuff, kind of like the Krell. You know, the Krell destroyed themselves because they developed their mental capacity to a point to where they could think and manifest their thought, but they couldn't control their thoughts. So they would think about their friend, they'd get into an argument with their friend and say, "Oh, drop dead," and the person would drop dead. And on the way dropping dead, the person would say, "Well, you drop dead too," so both of them dead, because they couldn't control their thoughts. So these super civilizations have miniaturized. There should be billions of civilizations out here in the macro multiverse, on the macro universe, which there are. Just none of them think that human beings are interesting enough to even come and talk to, just like you don't think an ant in the backyard is interesting enough to come and talk to. But we have gained a foothold in gleaning technology, gleaned from extraterrestrial sources, hyper-terrestrial sources, and have now started to send out signals out into the universe saying, "Come rape me, come eat me. We got a nice green planet with flowing water." Stephen Hawking, the little guy in the Stephen Hawking said, "Y'all better stop broadcasting that y'all here." the best thing you can do is shut up and try to hide, because some of those folks out there that get the message, they're going to come, and it won't be long. A lot of them are here now. Believe it or not, 25 grams of mushrooms, alien technology, alien and all that kind of stuff becomes too real, too fast. So inside of that, we look at the Drake equation, then we have the Fermi paradox. The Fermi paradox is that if we have all these planets in the Goldilocks area, why is it that the aliens aren't floating around here, flying around here? We're seeing them every moment. They should be all over the place because there's billions and billions of civilizations out here. Why are we seeing them? Because those civilizations that are truly super civilizations have miniaturized, and they're every place. A million, 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 million weirdos can exist on the head of a pin. Quadrillions of worlds and universes and galaxies can exist on the head of a pin. So they're everywhere. Technology is everywhere. Information is everywhere. The universe is built upon information. Information is everywhere. And it's everything. And everything has access to it. A blade of grass is more technology than you could ever imagine. A leaf, a tin can, a piece of styrofoam. The shit out of a gnat's ass is all information. But we don't see it because we think that we have a monopoly on consciousness. Everything is conscious. How do we explore our consciousness? We do it with the tryptamine hallucinogens. We do it with the mushrooms. We do it with ayahuasca. We do it with Iboka, Datura, Salvia divinorum. Although not all of them are tryptamine hallucinogens, of course, but at least they get you in the game. Mushrooms are a organic, alien, extra-dimensional technology created by super civilizations and infraparticle realms to give access to those beings that have developed the ability to be able to utilize the access points that the mushroom gives. The external technology that we have reemerged into the public domain, technology has not been around since 12,000 before the Common Era, before the Great Flood. The Great Flood, yes, the Great Flood of when the continental ice shelf on the United States and the northern hemispheres and things like that was 2 miles thick, and a meteor hit it, blasted all that stuff to big chunks of ice, particle, killed a whole bunch of stuff on Earth, and rose the sea levels up. It was melted ice water that rose the sea levels up. That's why off the shores of every ancient city, you have more ancient cities out off the shores into the water 400, 500 yards out that are sunken cities. They call them sunken cities, but they were sunk when that water rose up over them, and the people that survived who were back from that area of water, they just came down to the shore, to the next shore, and rebuilt. Once the remnant scientists, the survivors, and utilized the technology of the mushrooms to reemerge the areas of information and things like that that was lost. That's why you have Baalbek, and you have ancient Kemet and Mesopotamia, and you have temples on top of temples, temples that have fallen away. temples that had been ground down to sand, temples that were underwater, that they brought the same temple system back shore, up on the shore, and rebuilt the temples that are underwater. Many of the now islands of the Indonesian archipelago were up above water. There are civilizations down under those islands, the Philippine island chain. All of the shorelines are not the original shorelines. Africa sits on a plate. That's why a lot of the stuff survived. But Africa is hidden. It's still hidden. Congo, so old that you can't imagine it. There's places there that you just can't go. Wakanda's stuck up in there. People are talking about the Black Panther. How does he get his skill? How does he get his knowledge? How can he beat up Captain America and Iron Man? Why is the Black Panther so significant to the Marvel Universe? Because he takes a sacred heart-shaped herb, the panther herb. It's actually a mushroom. It's Amanita pantherita mushroom. And the psilocybin blue tamarian mushroom. That's the panther mushroom. The higher level of the leopard society. You have the leopard society, which is the spotted leopard, and then you have the highest, which is the Black Panther. It's not a fantasy. It's not something that King Kirby created and made up. They put together several African civilizations, and they built this Wakanda thing. The vibranium, of which Captain America's shield is made out of and the Black Panther suit is made out of, is the Sagala. It's forged on the Sirius dwarf star, where the dwarfs, just like the dwarf that made Thor's hammer, Mjolnir, out of the super steel, which is the Sagala, and the Dormaje are the that's just the whom they call the Amazons in Dahomey, the woman warriors who protected, who were the wives of the king, wives of the leopard. One of the books is called Wives of the Leopard, the royal house. They are the elite warriors. They were better than the men warriors. That's why they used them, because of their dexterity. If you fight, and I'm a traditional African martial artist, if you fight hand to hand, yes, strength plays a big part in it, but martial art is not hand to hand fighting. You fight hand to hand when you don't have your weapon no more, and you usually, most of the time, get killed. It's about spear, it's about shield, it's about sword, it's about ring knives, all those different types of things. And with the 24 inch top heavy decapitating razors that the women warriors who protected the king and Dahomey, Dormaje, on, is not fantasy. Jack Kirby put in classified information from records of the Germans and Russians and ancient access to ancient and other civilizations' artifacts and relics of power in World War II that the Germans went and got. The Germans were all over Africa looking for power relics. Heinrich Himmler and them guys. Hitler was obsessed with relics. That's why they were looking for the Spear of, that's why they found the Spear of Destiny and all those different type of things. The relic, the Spear of Destiny, is the relic that was supposed to pierce the side of Christ, where when they pulled it out, water flowed out and Jesus died on the cross and all that kind of stuff. It's no different than Iraq. The Iraq war was not about weapons of mass destruction. Of course, they didn't find anything. George Bush was just there starting something, using that as an excuse. What they did was they sacked the Baghdad museum, because ancient relics were in there that they needed to start up certain things that are down in the ground in those caves and things like that. It's the doggone remote control to the spacecraft, to the interdimensional craft, run by a crystalline technology. And these are external relics that are utilized as quantum, true quantum computers. These are true quantum computers paired with the entheogens, because that opens them up. Technology of trees, the acacia trees all over the world, Acacia nilotica, the DMT containing trees. They're quantum computers. They are living celestial beings that have access that you can utilize. You can go and type on the doggone computer, utilize the leaves, the faces come up like in Lord of the Rings. They get to walking around. Wasn't that tree over there a minute ago? Now it's over here, coconut trees, oak trees. All of these are divine sacred intelligences, quantum computers, of which we have access to. We have the super technology available to us. And these crystals in the Yimingzu, which is a rare crystalline structured, multidimensional, singularity-producing quantum computer, a true quantum computer. I know they got the D-Wave computer that they're trying to do something with. The D-Wave computer is about as big as a postage stamp. The box that you see around it, that's just the cooling. That's to cool the chip, because they don't know how to do room temperature superconducting. And we have them at the house. A true magical computer that can bend time, that delivers yourself to yourself so that you can see your higher self. You can see your beginnings. There is no beginning. You can see your end in that there is no end. True immortality. One big thing that I found out utilizing entheogen is that the only thing that is impossible in this vast multiverse that we're in is to die. You can't die. That's the whole thing about it. You could get stuck up in some shit, I'm telling you. But you can't die. If somebody kill you or you die or have a heart attack or drown, you'd be like, damn, I don't know what happened, but I'm someplace else now. I'm still here, though, because you take here with you. Because here is part of consciousness. Here. I'm here. Wherever you go, you're here. So mushrooms paired with these crystals, paired with the transdimensional crystals and the Yimingzu crystals, are what we've been waiting for. It's time. All that stuff in the 1960s with LSD, LSD is wonderful. It's a powerful tool. When utilized to its fullest extent, it is, try to say, well, in the 60s, you know, what happened in the 60s was a tragedy. No, that was just the birthing process. It was getting everybody set up for what's getting ready to happen in the next few years. And those people that get in with these crystals, because we're closing down shop, you know, people are, it's becoming much. We're closing down shop because people are getting wind of it. And the codes and locks and things on these transdimensional and Yimingzu crystals, the coding and the locks on these things, I don't care what they got. I don't want to hear what they have. They can't break the lock, meaning that if you hold it and it's your crystal, you and your family, your children, your grandchildren can use that because it's encoded to your genetic family line. But anybody else got it? They just got a crystal, the regular crystal that people be talking about it. They be stringing up with wire and all that kind of stuff that they don't know how to use. Oh, this got a good vibe to it. No, I'm talking about a technology. I'm talking about something you can point at the doggone wall and the wall turn into a wormhole. You step through the wall and you're in some place in a galaxy far, far away. You done went faster than Kirk, faster than the warp engines, farther than Stargate 101 or AG9 or whatever it is. Because we are the true immortals, and we have a technology. We have our mushrooms, organic technology. We have the crystals, the Yimingzu crystals, the infinity disks. Shoot, we got disks that Thanos is running around looking for. Are you going to be the Avengers to stop him from getting your infinity disk? So I don't know how, if anybody's on this program, because like I said, this is the first one. We set it up here recently. We'll be doing them weekly. So you'll be able to get back in. We'll be having guests on the show to come and speak. There's some fantastic guests I want you to be exposed to because they're off the beaten path. They're not the regular folks that come on that we hear over and over and over the same thing, you know, about how great this was and we were and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, all that's fine. But we're talking about something on an order of magnitude that's so much greater than anything that we've ever looked at or even tried to experience. It's not about being human on the earth. It's about being an unbound sovereign being inside of a family structure and access to the multiverse, access to the infraparticle realms, down below so small that light photons don't even exist, the triple thick darkness, the underworld of Wasir, Ansar, Osiris, the dark land, the areas of potential that are vastly more and more and more powerful than you can imagine. It's like in Doctor Strange, you said there are civilizations out here in this multiverse, some that are brilliant and full of light and full of love, but then you have those that are older than time itself. And we're talking about stepping on a Saturday night, you and your crystal, walking out into time that is older than time itself. Times that are older than time itself. Access to everything, anything imaginable. On a long Saturday night, with a high dose of mushrooms and your transdimensional crystal. It doesn't just have the map in it to go to where we're talking about meeting up at in hyperspace. You can also download your experiences in, meaning that if you go out into on an excursion, high dose excursion with mushrooms, and normally trying to get back there is like, wow, I'm trying to get back to where I was in that trip back in 2013. That can be downloaded into the map so you can go back to that spot. It teaches you how to get back to that spot that you were in 2013. It makes it available. Power into it. Transdimensional weapons. Because don't think you're going to be out here and don't need no weapons. Because the universe is love, and just because beings are large and smart, that they ain't malevolent. Now, there are a bunch of wonderful, enlightened entities and beings in the multiverse, yes, and you're lucky when you find them. But you need your sword too, your spear, your shield, whatever it is. Warriors exploring the multiverse. That's what I'm talking about. You know, folks can talk about manageable miniature doses, microdosing, all that kind of stuff, you know, dealing with your PSTD or PSDD or whatever. And I'm not belittling those things, because these things are for those also. But I'm speaking to a certain group of folks. So this ain't the medical marijuana page. This ain't the medical ayahuasca page. This ain't the medical psilocybin page where you take, okay, I'm getting out of here. To do this, we need to be able to get into the bigger parts of Blog Talk Radio. So we need donations to keep this thing running and to get into the better parts of the Blog Talk Radio, where we can have the hour and a half and things like that. So Kalindi@hotmail.com, PayPal, $10 or $5. PayPal, $10 or $5 to keep the show going. I'm not going to run this one out of my pocket, so it'll be out of everybody's pocket. So we're asking for a donation, $10, $5 on PayPal, KILINDI@hotmail.com. That's the PayPal address, and we're going to get you folks in. May take a little while, but we're going to get you in. So come back next week, the week after. It's going to get better and better. I'm going to get better and better at doing this. Thank you very much for coming out, and have a good evening. Baba Kalindi signing off.